You know, I was talking to someone the other day, I'm getting ready to get in the Word, and I told them that we do not have deacons in the church anymore. And so I have to explain that to you. So let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 6, before I get to my message. The book of Acts, chapter 6, and it'll show you why. See, when God tells you to, as a pastor, to get rid of religion and tradition in your church, you got to be knowing that it's right. You have to obey the Word. We do everything in this ministry by God's vision, which is the new covenant. All right? And anything that's not yet will happen. All right? I had men of God in this church has been deacons for 10, 15, 20 years. And I made a quality decision to make them ministers. And then I did that because of the Word. Because when God showed me that he did not tell me that, then I had to change it. Let me show you how you will know this. From the book of Acts, chapter number 6. Are you there? Come on, now you got to talk to me. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. We're waiting on the screen. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. So you have to know what the words say. If you're going to be in the ministry, you got to go by the word. If you're not, who you following? All right, chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. He's talking about what we have here, serving them, giving them food, that kind of stuff. Then the 12, come on, read now. I need you to see, this is how you got to know. You can't take nobody's word for you. This is your life. You read. You know what it says. All right, read. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, who called the meeting? Who called the meeting? The 12 disciples called the meeting and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men, brethren, and of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over what? Over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose, not God, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. They chose Philip, they chose Prochorus, they chose Nicanor, they chose Timon, they chose Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests was obedient to the faith. Ephesians chapter 4. See, you got to know what the word says. I'm doing this because I made a statement one day, and you got people go out and say, I pastor don't do, I heard your pastor. He said, you don't do no deacons no more over there. What y'all doing? Y'all in church anymore? I heard he wasn't baptizing. I heard he wasn't doing communion. I heard he wasn't doing bread on the table. Now y'all ain't got deacons. Are y'all church over there? See, they think that's the church. Watch what it said. Who had the deacons set up in the church? I told you, that's why I'm turning around and ask you the question. Now, my wife is telling you again, it was the 12 apostles. They could not do all the work, so they had them to help them. See, read the Bible for yourself. I'm telling you what it is. Stop just going to church, believing everything the preacher say. You got a Bible, read. All right. Hebrew chapter number 4, verse 1. Read. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Read. I therefore the prisoner. No, we're not going to be able to read all that. Just go down to verse number 11. I can't read all. Don't have the time. Verse 11. Oh, wait a minute. And he gave. Who is he? Now let's back. No, I'm trying to show you who did this. Let's back up. Go to verse 7. Back up to verse 7. Ephesians 4 and 7. I want you to read. But unto every man, every one of us is given what? That's what I read to you at the beginning. I told you, we're going to go back to that next. We're going to go back to John 1 and 16. Put in your notes. But unto every one of us given what? You know what God gave you. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, who is he there? Right, that's Christ, right? Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high. Who ascended on high? Okay, that's who said this. When he ascended on high, he led captive to captive, and he gave gift. He's not talking about over there in Acts. It wasn't he, it was the disciples. He gave gifts to men. He led captive to captive. He gave gifts to men. Now he that ascended is he that also descended first into the lower part of the earth, that he may fill all things. We know why he did it. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heaven, that he might what? Fill all things. That's what I just gave you, my message. He filled all things. All right, let's go to verse 11. And he gave. See, when God showed me that he did not give us deacons, it's what they did to help their ministry. So if a church want to have deacons to help their ministry, that's them. But I had my deacons there too long. And then the question came up, what about this wife? Then you know what we do? We make it stupid. Well, she going to be the deaconess. You don't have no deaconess in the Bible. See, we just make up something. We put some bonnet on their head, put a little cap on their head. They're going to be the deaconess. Come on now, that's all people do. They put a little cap on their head, little bonnet, and they're going to be the deaconess. So verse 11, come on, that's what I'm trying to show you. We don't do that here. Verse 11, and he gave some, God gave, Christ gave some, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Christ did this. So I'm setting this ministry up like Christ set it up. When I first started out, I just did what I did because the people I was with, that's what they did, that's what I did. And that's what religion is. Tradition is following the examples of man. What is tradition? Following the examples of man. That's all you're doing. They're not doing what the word says. There is no other gospel in this Bible but the gospel of Christ that you can preach and be saved. All right? Back up to Galatians 6 and 1. Go on to my message. Galatians 1 and 6, I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. See, you got to know what the word says. So if you want to go somewhere where they serve communion and have deacons in the church, you just go right ahead. That's your prerogative. I'm not doing that because the Bible did not tell me to do that. I'm not setting this church up to be religious or tradition. This church is going to follow the word. That's what we're going to do. All right, Galatians chapter 1. If you don't follow the word, how can you expect God to do everything in his word? I mean, if you're not going to follow the word, why even go to church when we're just going to believe what we want to believe? I'm not going to do that no more. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Are you there? I need you to read now. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. What did he call you? Into the grace of Christ. He said, unto another gospel. Now watch what the word of God says. Listen, the word of God was given to us by the Holy Spirit. This is not Paul's. This is God used Paul. Like he used Moses. Like he used the Old Testament prophets. Come on, this is not my word. This is not Paul. God used Paul. We are following the apostle Paul because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. All right, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. God called these people to the grace of Christ, they went to another gospel. Well, watch what Paul tells them. Which is not another, there is not another gospel. So when you go to a church, when somebody teaches you something else to be saved, that's not your gospel. See, the key is, you don't know, I'm trying to tell you. This is 44 years, this year is 45 years in ministry. And I'm going to tell you the truth. It doesn't matter if you walk out on me, that's your life. I'm going to tell you the truth. If you think you cannot be saved unless you confess with your mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and believe in your heart, then you go to that church. But that's not what the Bible told you to follow. That's what a man set up, a denomination, and that's what they do. And they name their churches that. That's perfect with them. I'm telling you what the Bible said. I'm not following no church. I'm not following no man. I'm following the Bible. Okay? Everybody got to give an account to God. I'm going to give an account to God. I'm going to follow this word. God said in verse 7, put it on the screen, which is not another, but there'll be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. That's the only gospel in the Bible. But watch what Paul says. Now, when I say Paul, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Come on now, the Holy Ghost wrote the new covenant. Verse 8 said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. It don't mean you go out and speak evil to him. God said, I will cut him off. In verse 9, as we said therefore before, I said to you again, if any man preach any other gospel to you than that we have preached, than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I yet to please men, I shall not be the servant of Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see what Paul preached. See, it's not complicated. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. What did Paul preach? If anybody preach anything else to be saved, let him be accursed. You got a lot of stuff out here, man. You better know what you're supposed to believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Want to wait till the screen? All right, here we go. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach. It's just plain and simple, isn't it? Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried. Watch what he said, according to the scripture. He fulfilled the scripture. And that he was buried to fulfill the scripture, and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. He to fulfill the scripture. Everything he did it to fulfill the scripture. This is what gospel we preach here. This is the only gospel in the Bible that you can believe to be saved. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Then I'm going to head to my message. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Here we go. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That's the only one that you're going to hear this on. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. This is the only gospel that will take you to salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. Watch this. To everyone that believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Because when the gospel of Christ is preached, verse 17, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, and it's written, the just shall live by faith. Oh, you can live by this. You can take it to the bank. All right. Now, we're going to get into the message today. Let's go to Psalm 78. And we won't look at Psalm 78. Now, this morning, we're going to look at one verse we get there in Psalm 78. Psalms 78. Now, remember, I start this off letting you know that he fulfilled all things. Psalm 78, let's go to verse 40. Psalm 78, verse 40. Okay, are we there? Here we go. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered. This is how they did. They remembered not his hand. They remembered not his hand, his power. Nor the day he delivered them from the enemy. They didn't remember. See, right now, most people, like I told you before, living today, God spared us from COVID. We can't not forget that. God, there was 1 million plus people who died during the COVID because we came through it and God saved us through it, we can't forget to give him the praise. We can't forget to give him the glory. See, now this is how, what happened when God do something. You have to get this morning tape. Now, I gave you verse 19. Let's go back to verse 19. This is what they did. They spake against God and said, we're in Psalm 78 in verse 19. And they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that we had water to gush out and gave us the streams came out and overflowed. Can he give bread? Also, can he provide flesh for his people? That's what people do. When they have a situation, they want to know, can God do this? See, why you think God created all things? Now, if he created all things, can he do what you ask him? Some of y'all still won't say yeah. Remember, the Lord looking right at your heart. All right, now watch what these people did. Verse number 21 says, therefore the Lord heard this. See, when they said the Lord heard this and was angry, so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and his anger came against Israel. Because, this is why, because they believed not in God. They didn't believe in God. That's why they died in the wilderness. And they trusted not in his salvation. See, that's what you got to understand. When situation comes up in your life, it's going to find out, do you really believe God? Are you just going to question God? See, I'm telling you, man, this thing is real. I put it this way. Either he is or he is not. And my Bible tells me over and over in the Bible, God is. All right? Now let's take this, because I got a lot of places I got to go. And let's go back to verse 10. Let's show you some things that happened in verse 10. We're in Psalm 78 and verse 10. All right, here we go. Read. Psalm 78 and verse number 10. Okay, there we go. They kept not the covenant of God, and they refused to walk in his law. And they forgot his works. See, that's what I'm saying. They forgot his works. We just had COVID in 2020. Most people already forgot it. See, don't stop thanking God for what God did in your life. I'm going to tell you this here. The greatest way to speed up what God going to do in your life is begin to thank him before manifestation. Let me say it again. The greatest way to speed it up, I'm showing you how to speed up things with God, begin to thank him before it manifests. Father, I just thank you right now for the manifestation of my health, my healing, my deliverance. You don't have to wait. My job, you don't have to wait till you see the job. You got the faith. That's what the faith does. Faith calls this thing which be not as though there were. Faith see the invisible before they appear. You got to begin to thank God already. You got to begin to act like it already. That's how you have to do. It's an awesome thing to get up and start walking when you know when you sat down you couldn't walk. That's how you have to be with God. All right. They forgot his works in verse 11 and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous thing did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea, caused them to pass over on dry land. He made water to stand up on a heap. Listen, he made the water stand up on the side and froze them and told Israel, now come on across. We talking about a sea. The whole sea stood up and the land was dry and let his people walk across on dry land. How can you forget what God has done for you? Don't let what you're going through now keep you from remembering what God already did. Watch what he did. In verse number 13, he divided the sea, caused them to pass. He made the water stand up as a heap. In the daytime, he also led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. They didn't have no light. They didn't have no fire. God came over them at night as a cloud of fire, covered the whole camp of Israel so they had light. And then the daytime, he came over them and covered them from the sun so they wouldn't scorch or burn up. And he became a cloud between the sun and the people. all every day for 40 years. Fed them when they was hungry. Gave them water. They didn't have nothing. Their shoes didn't even wear out. We talked about that this morning. You got to see what God has done. You got to see what God has done in your life. When you go back and sit down and look where you are from, where you started from and where you are today, you got to be able to see what God has done. He has brought you from a mighty long way. But you can't forget what God has done. When you come in here today, when you come in here for Sunday morning service, it's your time to worship and to praise God. You can't be worried about nobody else. They may not be grateful, may not be thankful. They may not even begin to understand what God, but whatever you've been going through, you went through. You don't see that right now, but you have to thank God that it's already done. Come on, say, it's already over. You got to call things that be not as though they were. Yeah, I don't care how it is, you got to say it's already over. It's already came to pass. This is a done deal. Huh? That's how you talking to God. That's the kind of talk God wanted you to hear. He don't want you to wait till it happens and say, oh, I know you. I believe you outgoing. You supposed to believe me before you saw it. That's why he gave you the faith. All right, now let's move on. He rang, watch this here, verse 26. He caused the east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained down flesh, he's talking about those birds, quails, also upon them as dust. Feathered fowl, which were quail, like as the sand of the sea, dropped them right on over by Israel. He let it fall in their midst of their camp, round about their habitation, so that they eat, and they were filled. And he gave them their own desire. He said, they said, I want meat. God said, what kind? I have some feathers. Oh, man, woo. I like to have a chicken. He let everything fall right about and said, now just walk right over there and get them. Bread, when they got up in the morning, he said, all you got to do is just go rake it up. Taste it. My God, already seasoned. Don't tell me what God didn't do. You just got to give God some praise. Don't tell me what it didn't do. Now, some of y'all don't know what our message is, but I'm going to say it real loud. Y'all who do know, I'm going to just say it. Take the limit of God. That's what God told me. He said, I said it last week before I got out of here. I said, oh, my God, I didn't say it that in years. And I said, I believe it's coming back. And I was standing in here, but God fulfilled all things. And he told me that the time has come. When Jesus came, he announced in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, the time has come for the change. When he came, the law was over. Any time he come, there's a change. I don't think you understand. When he showed up, the law was over, the Psalms were over, the prophets, all of that stuff was over. He is the fulfillment of all things. Once God came in your life, he is the change. I don't think you understand. He's not asking you to change. When he came in your life, he is the change. That's why people who knew the song, they knew the song, they sang, change has come. Not coming, already came. Let's go over to verse number 40. I'm sorry, I'm not 40, 43. Just going to read this because I'm not going to say you to read it. I'm going to read it for you. And I want you to read with me. Verse 43. We're in Psalm 78. Then I'm going to get to my message. I got some stuff for you. And verse 43. He had wrought his signs. He had wrought his signs in Egypt. He did his wonders in the field of Zoan. He turned their rivers into blood. This is what he did against their enemies. And their floods. And then they couldn't even drink their own water. He sent divers sorts of flies among them. This is what he did to his enemy, because they let Israel go. See, when he told them, let him go. If you don't let him go, I mess with your water. See, you here trying to fight your own battle. Nobody, you ain't got to worry. Your job is to give God the praise, because when anybody try to keep you in bondage, God going to mess with their stuff. And they going to begin to understand, I got to leave these people alone. Because God is for these people. I'm telling you, everywhere Israel went, the word got out. Don't mess with them because God will fight for them. Yeah. I'm telling you, when the first town they got to, the woman told him, he said, look, we already know we can't mess with you because we mess with you, God will fight for you. And we can't fight your God. See, Israel had to fight, Egypt had to find out that God would fight for his people. Well, if God fights for his people, what about his own children? You are not his people, you are his children. You are his sons and daughters. Well, I am, you know, I speak for myself. Now watch what he did for them in verse 45. He sent divers sorts of flies among the people. Not his people now. Them. Which devoured them, and they sent frogs to destroy them. He gave also their increase to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines and their hail with hail. Now what Israel's right here, the land drawn in Goshen, looking right at it. See, they didn't have no TV. They just did this and looked over at Egypt every night. They're just having it again over there. Well, look what's going on over there. Oh, that was a fly. Look, I said he can't come over here. No evil could come near their dwelling. Only with their eyes could they see the reward of the wicked. That's what you got to understand. Woo. In verse number 48, he gave up their cattle and also to the hail and their flocks to the hot thunderbolt. He cast out their fierceness of his anger, his wrath, his indignation, his trouble by evil angels came among those people. He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul for death. He gave their life over to the pestilence. He smote all their firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength in the tabernacle of Ham. But made his own people go over like a sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Can you understand? Here, listen, I have to say this. I believe when Israel came across the Red Sea, I guarantee you the ladies were like this. holding on that clothes so they won't step in the water, you know. And ice on each side. See, it had to be like a grave. It was like a grave. They came down right between the ice. Ice on each side is just like, man, hope them thing don't break. And God allowed them to cross over on dry ground. Come on, I think we got to give him praise. Now, we are praising him because if you can praise God for what God did for somebody else, then God looks at you like you a praiser, because you don't just wait and praise God for when something happened in your life. You got to praise God when something happened in other folks' life. I got some folk in this house I'm praying for, and I know it's going to manifest, and I know it's going to happen, and I'm going to praise God. I'm not going to wait. I'm praising God for them already. Hallelujah. I'm not going to wait to praise God. I like that song. Don't wait till the battle's over. You got to shout now. But he made his own people go over like sheep and guided them. He guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on safely so that they feared not. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. He brought them to the border of his sanctuary, even to the mountain which his right hand had purchased. And then in the last one, in verse number 55, he cast out the heathen. Put the heathen out of the land. Cast them out. Let them keep the land till Israel was time to come out. Let them grow all the gardens, keep all the insects out, destroy all the stuff that was in there, chop all their crop, had everything planted, all their vineyard was ready. Then he said, now get out. I got somebody coming out of Egypt going to take over this. I'm telling you that's the truth. They had everything ready for Israel. They had, because it had to be grace. You got to see grace. They enter into a land that they did not plant. They live into a house that they did not build. See, everything that they went into was already furnished. That's how it is in your grace. That's what God gave you. He gave you grace. Everything you got, you had nothing to do with it. Everything God did for you, you had nothing to deal with. All you had to do was come in and receive it and give God his praise. Here in verse number 55, say he cast out the heathen also before them, divided them in inheritance by line, made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Ran them out. They went over, slept that night in their tents. Everything's already set up for them. And verse 56, this is here's the problem. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God, and they kept not his testimonies, but they turned their back, and they dealt unfaithful. To a faithful God, they dealt unfaithful. Like their fathers, they were turned aside like a deceitful bull. That's what happened. That's why God. I'm going to show you. Go to Isaiah 58. I wasn't going this way, but I am now. Isaiah chapter 58. Look at verse 6. See, why did God did not hear Israel? Why? You got to understand something. These people didn't live right. And when you don't live right, man, you can't get along with God. Especially when God keep blessing you. And then you still won't live right. Fix it. That's all I hear the Holy Ghost said. Fix it. Isaiah 58 and verse 6. You got too much going in your life. Let God wants to bless you. I'm telling you, he's a good God. Isaiah 58 and verse 6. Now watch what. This is what happened to Israel. Watch what. Israel tried to use their spiritual stuff, the fasting and doing all their physical stuff to please God. Watch what God says in verse 6. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? This is what I want you to do. I want you to loose the bands of wickedness. I want you to undo the heavy burdens. I want you to let the oppressed go free. And I want you to break every yoke. You can't break the yokes until you get the law out of here. You got to get the people out of the bondage in this stuff. Let them come to church free and worship freely. Watch what it says in verse 7. It is not to deal your bread to the hungry. And that thou break, this is what he showed. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry, feed the hungry? That thou bring the poor that are cast out to your house when thou see the naked, that thou cover him, and then you don't hide yourself from your own flesh. You got to take care of the people. All right. Is it not to deal your bread to the hungry and that you help the poor, cast out of thy house when you see the naked, you close them, and then you hide not yourself from your own flesh. Watch what he said. When you do this, then your light gonna break forth in the morning. Your health gonna spring forth speedily. The righteousness shall be before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy real reward. Then thou shalt call unto the Lord, and the Lord's gonna answer when you call. And when you cry, he shall say, here I am. If you take away from the midst of the yoke, he's talking about the law. And that's why we did that. We got it out of here. You can't have people burdened and think they're saved by another way when Christ died for their sins and was buried and God raised them from the dead. And you put water here and say, jump in the water and God will save you. Come on, people got to rise up. You're not that wicked. You can't dunk in the water and get no eternal life. Then thou shalt call. Look at verse number 10. If you draw out thy soul to the hungry, he's going to say it again. Satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and your darkness shall be at the noonday. And the Lord shall guide you continually. He'll satisfy your soul in drought. He'll make fat your bones. Thou shalt be a water garden. You're going to be a water garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall be of the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repair of the breach. This, the restore. And that's why I'm showing you there three times when Jesus came, he came to restore all things. That's why when he healed the blind man, when he healed the man with the withered hand, he restored the other hand as the other. That's what he came to do, to restore all things. It's not going to happen. It's already happened. We just got to take the limit of God. Look at Isaiah 59 while you're there. Just the first four verses. Just show you why God didn't hear Israel. You got to understand something. God is here for you. He's already done the work. And all you got to do is believe he's already done it. Stop trying to get it. It's already done. Everything you need in grace is already finished. The whole New Testament is already in past tense, even the Gospel of John. We go on that next, John 1:14. We're in Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened or weakened that it can't save you. Neither his ear heavy that it don't hear you. See, let him know, there's no problem with me. But your iniquity have separated between you and your God. Well, you know that's not your problem because Christ died for your sins already. He said, your iniquity has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he won't hear you. That was Israel. For your hands have defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice. Watch what God wants here. This is one of my prayers in this country. Justice. I told you that before. I will not stop praying until I see it. There will be justice in this country. Nobody in this country is above the law. Nobody. None calleth for justice. None pleadeth the truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and they bring forth iniquity. That's what happened. It's brought forth by people. Wickedness is spread by people. It don't just happen. That's why you got to shut it down. All right, let's go to work. Jeremiah. No, I see I'm going to John. You go to John. I got to go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 32. I can't go there. Another time, another place. Jeremiah 32. I got a couple places I got to go, and I don't have but 11 minutes. Jeremiah. That's my boy, Jeremiah. My wife will tell you I watch Jeremiah more than I do the book of Exodus. Ten Commandments, Jeremiah. That's me right there. Jeremiah, it's time for you to speak. Are we there? Jeremiah chapter number 32 and verse 16. Jeremiah's talking to God. He's praying now. Now when I had delivered the evening, the evidence of the purchase of Beirut, when he bought the potter's field, I prayed to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth. Now remember, he's reminding God what he's already done. So if you did all that, I sure can believe you for this. Sometimes you just got to believe God all the time. And say, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and your stretched out arm. And there is, now remember, what was the question this morning? I gave you Genesis chapter number 18:14, and the question was asked, is there anything too hard for God, right? That was the morning with Abraham. Genesis 18:11-14, is there anything too hard for God? Well, Jeremiah is going to answer it. In verse 17, and there is nothing. He asked a question this morning. Is there anything too hard for God? Abraham and Sarah. He told him this time next year I will be back. Sarah will have a son. Why? Because his word performed it. You got to understand something. God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. This ain't nothing man doing. And verse, is there anything? I'm asking you a question. Is there anything? I'm asking this church a question. Is there anything? Is there anything too hard for God? So I don't care what you're going through. You got to come to a place. Do you believe God? If you believe God, you got to stand up in God's face like a man. You got to stand up in God's face like a man and tell God, there's nothing too hard for you. Tell God. You talk to God and you tell God your situation. Talk to him like a man. That's what happened to Abraham. When Abraham found out that God was going to Sodom and Gomorrah, destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, wait, hold a minute. Now, look, this just don't sound like you. To destroy the wicked, the righteous with the wicked. Are you telling me that you would destroy the righteous with the wicked? And God said, wait a minute. If I find 10 righteous, I would not destroy. Abraham said, wait, let me see. he started with 51 all the way down to 10, and God kept on walking because he was going down further. Because if he said one, God could not destroy with one. He had to break. The angel told him to come out of Sodom. The angel told him, said, look, get out of here. We can't do nothing till you get out. You got to understand that's how important you are. But you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. You are a child. Say, I am a son. You're a daughter. Say, I'm a daughter of the living God. Said, that's my father. He knows all. He's everywhere at the same time. He's all powerful. And he never changed. And there's nothing too hard for my father. That's how you got to think. Let's go ask Job. Now you're taking the limit off from now on. You might just had a limit on. God hates limits. He hates anybody to question, can he do something? The new covenant is already finished. You got to come to a place to believe that. It's already finished. It's already done. God just waiting for somebody that he gave faith to grab a hold on to it and pull it out of there. It's already done. Job. Let's go to Job now. 42:10. Right for the book of Psalms. Job 42:10. So you got to take this stuff. This is how I live, brother. When I came here to talk to this man about this church, I didn't have no money. Well, matter of fact, we bought the first church. We didn't have no money. That ain't no problem. The man said, you got the money. I said, well, how much you going to have for? He said, I'm going to need $1,000 down the first church. I said, oh, we got $1,000. That's all we had. I said, yeah, we got $1,000. He said, well, give it. That's earnest money. He said, give it to me. We'll take it off the market. I said, no problem. Told him, write it. Write the check. Didn't know that was the check. That was it. But when it came down to the day we had to have that money, we went downtown to Detroit and met with the bank and had the money. Had every dime. Sure did. Same way with the second church. That's how God worked. Same way with this place here. We didn't have the money. The man sat down, look at me and my wife. He getting ready to draw up all this stuff. He said, now this is going to cost a lot of money because I got to have all this stuff drawn up. That's money. You sure you want to do this? He looked at me right in my face. And I said, well, how much is this stuff going to cost? He looked at right in my face. He said, $3.5 million. Do I draw up the plans or what? I look at my wife. I said, yeah, draw them up. My wife would tell you. I said, yeah, draw them up. He said, you know you got to have the money. I said, the money will be there. You just draw them up. You got to talk up if you expect God. If you expect God to stand up with you, you got to stand up with him. You can't come here knees all knocking and stuff and expect God to honor that. You talk like God is with you. You got to start acting like God is with you. You're not by yourself. The Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? If it had not been the Lord on my side, David says, what would I have done? But the Lord is with you. You got to understand why you think David went against Goliath. Because he knew God was not going to let him fail. I said he was not going to let him fail. He's not going to let Goliath kill his boy. He already put it in the book. He said, you touch not mine anointed and you do my prophets no harm. He's not going to let anybody mess with you. You got to start acting like it. I said you got to start acting like it. Whatever you're going through, you got to start acting like it. My wife will tell you, we don't be having money. We just act like it. You'll never know. Now, don't get me wrong. We have somebody bail us out and help us out. But you will never know. Me and my wife come in here, you'll never know. We're not asking you for no money neither. But you got to start acting like it. I don't care. Listen, when you're hurting, you got to act like you're healed. And you got to talk to God under your breath like, Lord, you know I'm going through something, but I can't let people see me like this. You got to help me. Don't let folks see me like this. I need you to help me. You got to stop praying. You got to stop praying to God every day. You got to start thanking God every morning. When you want something from God, you got to stay in his face. Cornelius in the Bible, you know why they remembered him in heaven? Because he was in God's face every day. He said, well, we know you. When I read Jeremiah, if you ever look at the picture of Jeremiah, they let Jeremiah out of the dungeon when they let him out of the cell. And he came out, the man from Babylon said, oh, Jeremiah, God told us to let you out. The king said, let you out. Jeremiah, he said, how you know me? He said, everybody know Jeremiah. That's how you got to be, man. You God's boy, you God's girl, everybody know you. And I'm not talking about physical people. I'm talking about spiritual beings. I'm talking about the heavenly. The heavenly know you. They know you because you got his spirit in you. Start acting like it. Let me finish, Joe. But you got to start acting like it. And when you're acting like it, you are taking the limit off. Take it off. Take the limit off. Because God want to come through every door in your life. He want to check out every situation in your life. See, you don't understand. We don't know what's going on with our bodies. We don't know what's wrong with our body. We don't know what problem could be in our body. God want to go through every vein, every muscle, every nerve, every part of your body. Job 42 and verse 1. Then Job answered. Well, when Job answered, you got to understand, Job been talking, God been talking for the last few chapters. Where were you, Job? Can you do this? God told him how all the stuff he done, chapter 40, 41. Now you get to 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said. See, he already told him over here all the stuff he done. He said, look, where were you at when I put the sun here and I did this? Why the water can't and the sea can't go past that? The Leviathan, who feeds him? All the stuff, man, all through Job. Job been listening to God the last three or four chapters. So you get to chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, here was his conclusion. I know that thou can do everything. He came to a conclusion. And you're going to have to conclude your situation in that statement. I know you can do everything. Come on, you got to put your situation, whatever your situation is, you got to put it within this subject. In that everything. Because God can do what you, how much can he do? That includes your stuff. That includes your situation. I said, God can do everything. Now, if he can do everything, he can do what you ask him. But he's already done it. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. Don't try. When I, Old Testament said, I know you can do everything. He's talking about manifestation now. You're not over there where him come to the cross and do it. He did everything at the cross. In the new covenant, it's called manifestation. Now you need to bring it out the spirit realm into your physical realm. I know you can do that. My wife will tell you, and I'm going to share this with you, but my wife will tell you that I was going to the hospital. I was going to the doctor, and I have to go and keep checking up. The last time they told me, you don't have to come back. But anyway, I was going through different things in my body because I had open heart surgery. So I ended up having to go through different things, had to take different pills, find out what the stuff like that. And then there came a day when God had done some things in my life. And so, but they could not understand it.
When I started going back to the doctor, the man looked at my wife and said, oh, God doing something in his life. I told the man, I said, look, everything going to be okay. I'm okay. But I talked real boastful to the doctor, and he's my doctor. So, but he didn't think I was going to make it. My wife will tell you, he did not think I was going to make it. The people at the hospital did not think I was going to make it. I was there 14 days. See, they didn't think I was going to make it. But they didn't know. They could not read on the monitor why my heart rhythm hadn't kicked in. I was in the hospital for 10 days before I had a heart rhythm. You don't get it. They were keeping me alive on a monitor. But they didn't understand I had pulled a thing out. See, when I came out, yo, you got 1 minute, right? When I came out of surgery, you know, I thought they had left me for dead. And I thought that, you know how they push you in the morgue and leave you? That's the first thing I thought about. Because, you've been dead. Remember, your heart was in the man's hand. They would keep me alive on machines. So I'm talking about when I came out of it, about 2 or 3 days later, probably about the third or fourth day, then I found myself in intensive care, but I didn't see nobody. And nobody was around me. Nobody. And I'm in intensive care. So the first thing I started thinking about is, they think the boy didn't make it. But the boy coming out of here. So I started pulling out tubes. They had my feet tied down, strained out, all kind of stuff, man. Stuff blowed up on my feet. And I'm going like, man, they had me strapped down, everything. I started coming out of there like sound. I started coming out. And then I started pulling out stuff. And so I'm going like, I got to get out of here. Then a woman said, hey, what you doing? What you doing? I'm going like, where you been? Like, I'm going like, who's watching over me, you know? And then, but this one tube I had pulled out so far when she had stopped me. Now that one was for the rhythm of the heart. So when the only reason I knew about it is when they finally came in, I must have bumped it or pushed it or something. And they came in one day, said, we okay. I said, what's going on? She said, your heart rhythm. So I can take the stuff out. You got a heart rhythm. I said, heart rhythm, what's that? She said, you're alive. I'm like, I've been alive all the time. She was going like, no, you wasn't alive. We would keep you alive. Huh? But she thought she would keep me alive because I had pulled this thing out. But I was all right. I had the heart rhythm, but the thing that goes down into the heart, I was pulling them out. I had already had it out. I had it right at the end. And I just left alone when the woman called me. I forgot. And so she told me, she said, we got to pull this thing out. When she pulled it, it was already out. It was like, I want to say, what did I do? But I had already pulled it out. But she said, you finally, we got a heart rhythm. I was in the hospital for 10 days before I had a heart rhythm. I was in the 14 days before they let me out. Then they sent home, what do you call this thing? Defibrillator. What do you call it? Fibrillator? The thing like we got outside that you don't put to bother. All right. They sent one home with me. Had it inside my bed and had it around my waist. Battery pack. In case I die that night. And when I found out, I said, honey, I'm not taking you with me. I said, the God that I serve has already taken me through surgery. He's already brought me out to here. He's not bringing me home to die. And I'm not going to lay in my bed at night. Now listen, I'm not telling you to do this here. You got to know the man and stay up in his face enough to know you can talk to him like this. Because I know that with God, all things are possible. You got to be able to talk to the impossible thing to a God who's possible to everything. And when I know God, I know who I'm talking to. So I came to a time when I told my wife, I said, I'm not. When I took that thing off, they was at my house in no time. They were money to me, see. So I unplugged it and took it off. They was at my door. Don't. I'm like, what y'all want? See, I want that money. So, how y'all know? They knew. So I gave him that money. He said, you sure you want to do this? I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I want to do this. Because just as sure that if something happened to me that night and that thing had to shock me back to life, here I am with my arm around my wife. Who you think would get the shock? It would go through me to her. She would get shocked. Could have lost her life. I said, Lord, you know I'm not living like this. Because I already know you. And I know when I went in there, I already knew I was coming out. So I didn't go in there thinking, I know I was coming out. Let me tell you something. There are many people will count you out. But God never counts you out. And the last thing I want to tell you, stand up on your feet, is don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. That's the last thing. Come on, I want you to listen to me. We're getting ready to close. Come on, stand up. Everybody stand up. But I want you to look at somebody and say, whatever you're going through, don't give up on God. God has not forgotten you. Don't forget. Don't give up on him. God won't quit until it manifests. I said, God is not going to quit until it manifests. Keep your dream alive. Keep your faith alive. Don't deny God. Don't give up on God. Now receive it. Clap your hands. How many know it's gonna come to pass? Say that with me. It's already came to pass. See, you waiting on the manifestation. Amen. See, getting a miracle is just like a husband and wife who been wanting a child. They get the pregnancy. Don't know it. They go to the doctor 3 months ago. She's, oh, you was pregnant. Well, you've been pregnant 3 months. When you first go to the doctor to find out you're pregnant, you've been pregnant. But it never manifested. See, 9 months take the manifestation, but you already was pregnant. You got to look at healing like that. I'm already healed. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I'm already healed, but I'm waiting on a manifestation. See, you already got your miracle. You're just waiting on a manifestation. So don't give up on the manifestation. You was pregnant 9 months ago, 8 months ago, 7 months ago. You just waiting for it to manifest. Just as sure as God started it, God will finish it. God never start anything that he does not finish. You know you belong to God. Just don't give up on God. Come on, clap your hands. Clap your hands. My time is already gone. My last word to you is take the limit of God. Come on, I'm coming down. I need you to help me. Come on, we're coming right here. Come on. I need you to help me. Take the limit of God. Come in your camera. You're going to get as wide of a view you can out there. Come on. Take the limit of God. Now give him a great big hand.